A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be talking with Louis Ruiz today. And Louis, I really appreciate you joining me. And so for those that don't know you, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So my name is Louis Ruiz, originally from San Diego, California, out here living in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee now. Musician, I own a pressure washing window cleaning company out here in Nashville, and started the diet about 2 years ago or so. I'd been fit most of my life, you know what I mean? Grew up in, you know, six blocks from the beach in beautiful San Diego, and you know, surfer, runner, skater, that whole deal, skateboarding, that is, not roller skating, but well, roller skating's fun too, but anyways, always pretty fit. And then at some point in my 20s, you know, I got diagnosed with an anxiety disorder and ended up getting on medication for anxiety. And that's when the weight started coming on, the medicine. I was on a medicine that caused me to gain like 100 pounds in 12 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And then things just kind of started going downhill from there. And now here I am now, 49. And, you know, I feel better now than I did in my 20s. But, you know, it was a big downward spiral from getting on that medicine at 28. So,
wow. That's what medicine was that?
So it was called Paxil. And I guess when I talk to the doctors about it, they say some people will lose weight, some people gain weight. Well, I was one of the ones that gained weight.
Oh, you know? My goodness.
Didn't help that I like to eat too, though. You know what I mean? I guess I was a glutton.
Right. Aren't we all at some point?
Yeah.
Wow. How did that impact you as far as, you know, seeing the weight gain? Was it pretty rapid or?
It was. It was like, you know, I always kind of ate a lot because I was pretty active.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I was becoming less active as well as you get older. But, you know, yeah, just the weight just seemed to come on pretty quickly, even though. So like quicker than I would have expected. I was still, you know, fairly active. But yeah, I just noticed like within a few short weeks, I'm having to get another pair of pants kind of thing, you know, and I didn't feel like I was eating more than I was normally eating. You know, of course, all my food decisions were always bad. I mean, I really enjoyed, you know, just eating bad food, you know, pizza, you know, McDonald's and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, for sure. Wow. So let's fast forward a little bit. You've got this weight issue. And at what point did you decide I need to make a change? And what led you to the carnivore diet?
Well, once the weight started coming on, I needed to make a change right away, but I didn't really know how to do it because I was like, I'm still, you know, fairly active, I guess. I mean, I wasn't out, you know, surfing like I used to because I moved to Los Angeles at this point. You know what I mean? So I'm like 45 minutes from the beach living in Studio City, but, I didn't really quite know how to do it. So I went to the gym, got a personal trainer, and none of that really seemed to help. You know what I mean? Tried taking all the supplements that they recommended. None of that really seemed to help. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, years and years later, I start, you know, putting on a little bit more weight. And, you know, I kind of get to the point to where I feel like I'm breaking down. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, like 3 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, you know, I had depression. I never had depression before, but depression kind of kicked in. And that was kind of like a 3-year thing. And things just seemed to be getting worse you know, at some point, you know, Rebecca and I discovered Dr. Barry online and I was like, well, I've got to give this a try. So we tried it at some point and then I wasn't able to be consistent with it. But then when I had this heart scare that happened on Father's Day of 2022, that's when I knew that I needed to make a change. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this all meat thing. And if it takes my life, then so be it. I'm on my way out anyways, but I have to make this change, you know? And, you know, within a few short weeks, things started to improve. So that was pretty amazing. You know what I mean? And a lot of my family and friends were pretty freaked out. Like, dude, like, aren't you worried about, you know, like your cholesterol and this and that? And I'm like, dude, none of you guys were worried about any of that when I was eating all the bad stuff. Right. Why are you worried about it now? You know what I mean? Sure. You know, you're loading up on pizza and McDonald's and, you know, whatever else. And nobody's like, hey, dude, like, are you worried about your cholesterol? Like, it's funny how nobody mentions that, but.
For sure. Yeah. It must have been pretty bad of an issue that you were having to resort to something that most people consider a heart attack diet.
Right. Exactly.
And you're having heart issues.
Yeah. So the first thing I noticed is that my anxiety was under control for the first time in 20 years. I've been on medicine for 20 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. 20 years. And, yeah, the fact that that went into remission, I was like, holy cow, like this is amazing. Like,
what kind of anxiety issues did you have in the past?
So it was like, you know, anxiety with agoraphobia. So it was like, you know, just that feeling of like, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack, or like I'm going to be dying, or just something really bad is going to happen. You know, I was a touring musician, so I toured for, you know, a couple decades. And, you know, I remember just being on the road and just thinking, you know, as we're, you know, driving from one place to the next, sometimes you get through a stretch of area where there's not a whole lot of life. You know what I mean? You're just driving through the hills or the mountains or flat land or whatever. And I'm like, what if I have a heart attack right now? Like there's no paramedic, there's no hospital nearby. Like what's going to happen? And I would just freak out, you know?
Wow.
So
within a matter of weeks, those feelings went away.
It all went away.
What?
Because it was the weirdest thing.
What did that feel like?
It felt freeing, you know, in a big way, because I felt so trapped. I felt a slave, you know what I mean, to this mentality, this mindset. I don't know what caused it, you know? And so, you know, looking back now, realizing that seed oils were the corporate for this thing, and I was able to pinpoint it to that. And just, you know, coming to that realization that food can affect more than just your weight, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, my whole life, well, you know, you're hungry, you eat, you got to eat. You know what I mean? And nobody's going to be selling you like poison deliberately. But,
absolutely. You know, so you pinpointed it. How do you know? And, you know, how did you pinpoint it?
Pinpoint it because at first I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then after, you know, several months, you know, on carnivore, you know, I started noticing that some of my anxiety started to creep back in. And I'm like, what's happening? I'm eating all the right things now. It's been, I don't know, 6 months or 8 months of doing the right thing. And my anxiety is starting to come back. What's the deal? And I'm looking at all the stuff I'm eating. I'm like, okay, at this point now, I've cut out seasonings. I'm basically eating meat, butter, eggs, salt, you know what I mean? With some sardines, you know, light dairy, you know, pork skins, pork rinds, chicharrones, you know, whatever you want to call them. And, I kind of pinpointed to one day and I was like, okay, the only thing that seems to be really odd here, pork skins that I'm eating. So I was using this brand that I was getting from the local grocery store here. And I always look at the ingredients of anything that I get. And the ingredients were just, you know, pork skins and salt.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how they're cooking the pork skins. So I get online and I had to dig for, I don't know, I think 3 or 4 days. And I finally found that this company, they fry their pork skins in palm oil.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as I cut that out, about a week or two of cutting that out, the anxiety went away again.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And then I was in a desperate point and I was hungry and just needed something. I went to the, you know, the place, grabbed some pork skins. I had that. Boom, anxiety, really light anxiety, but it kicked back in again. Got rid of that stuff and it went away. And so based on that, my guess is that it was the palm oil.
Without a doubt, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a poison for you.
For sure. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Goodness. So anxiety's gotten better. How about the depression?
The depression went away. Yeah. Depression completely went away. I mean, that went away pretty quickly. You know, I think like when the first couple days.
Wow. Week
or something like that. You know, I was, like I said, I wasn't somebody that struggled with depression most of my life. It's something that kind of worked its way in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had it for about 3 years. And towards the end there was really bad. I mean, I was like, you know, I really felt like I wanted to be dead. I wouldn't hurt myself. You know, I got 8 kids and a wife that need me, you know, and my faith and such. But I was really like, I don't want to be here anymore, you know, but there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to do anything to make that happen. And it was a really sad point. You know, I was bedridden. I mean, I didn't want to get out of the room. Didn't want to get out of the bed. I just wanted to sleep the rest of my life. And, wow. That's what I was doing. So
was that causing big issues in terms of your family life?
It was. It was causing more. Well, I don't know if it was causing big issues. I don't know if I would say that. It was causing more depression, and it was causing a lot of like worthlessness. You know, I felt like, you know, my wife here is running the business now. She's doing the hiring, the firing. She's doing the, you know, taking all the phone calls and the estimates and going out and doing all the labor and training people how to do the labor. And here I am sitting in bed because I can't get up, you know, wishing that I was dead.
My goodness.
It was tough. You know, my kids, I mean, I was pretty much non-existent to the kids. If they wanted to see me, they'd see me for, you know, a couple hours a day when I went out and made some food or got food or had food picked up for me or whatever, then go back to bed. And so it was, there was no way to live. My quality of life was terrible. You know, I remember telling my wife at some point, I said, man, babe, I could totally see how I could easily become one of these people on, you know, my 600-pound life, you know,
right?
Because all you do is eat and sleep.
Right. Mm-hmm. How bad did the eating patterns get?
It was the only thing that I looked forward to in the day. So if you want to call that bad, to me, that's a bad thing. Well, the best part of your day is when you get to eat. So, you know, that'd be the only thing that would get me excited. I'm like, oh man, you know, it would sound good tonight. It's like, what if we got pizza? You know what I mean? Or, you know, uh-huh. They might be like, hey, you want to watch a movie with the kids? I'm like, yeah, I'll try to stay up through a movie. Oh, you know, it'd be awesome. You know, maybe we can go to the store and grab some snacks. And she's like, sure, what would you like? You know what I mean? And I'm always kind of a salty person. So I'm like, yeah, man, maybe get some chips and dip and, you know, something like that. Grab some soda. Grab me a couple sodas, you know, that kind of thing. And that was what I looked forward to, was just an excuse to be able to eat good, comforting, good tasting, I should say, not good, but, you know,
right.
Comforting food. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was pretty bad. When the best part of your life is when you're going to sit down and stuff your face with stuff that's terrible for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting that you point that out, because I feel like reflecting back on my own life right now, I had sort of a similar feeling. You know, everything was, oh yeah, let's go eat here. Let's go, you know, grab this to eat. And it was always some kind of a treat, you know, with food all the time with me. And I never really noticed that until you just brought that up.
Right. It was interesting too, because, you know, for eating out, I mean, that was always my favorite thing to do. And I look back now and I can see my pattern as a kid. Like, I remember, you know, we ate every meal at home growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime we were in a rush or going somewhere, my parents said, hey, listen, we're going to have to go run through the drive-thru. Like, I would get giddy as a kid. I remember, like, I could hardly sit in my seat, just like super excited. Like, well, really? We're going to go, like, do you think we could go to, like, you know, Carl's Jr. so I can get a, you know, bacon cheeseburger and, you know, or whatever. And we'd go through McDonald's and grab like a Happy Meal. And I was always bummed that all I got was a Happy Meal. I'm like, I wanted like 2 or 3 Happy Meals.
Wow.
Like it was like, and it's not that I wasn't, you know, full after eating the Happy Meal, but it tastes so good that I wanted more of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me of like, I remember being in high school, I'm hanging out with one of my friends, you know, and he goes to my house. And he's like, man, you guys always have food here in your house. And I'm like, really? We never have anything in my house. We go to your house and you have all the food. The difference was, you know, we had, you know, I guess kind of real food at my house. And at his place, they had all the junk food. They had like fruit roll-ups, you know what I mean? And they had like, you know, Pop-Tarts and chips and almond roca, you know, and I'd load up there. So anyways, I remember one time going to the pantry. I'm like, hey, there's a brand new bag of Doritos. Can I open it up and get some Doritos? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So I opened it up. And I'm sitting down, you know, watching MTV and the Doritos. And he sits down. And he's like, hey, man, let me get some. I'm like, oh, dude, they're gone. He's like, you ate that whole bag by yourself? And I'm like, well, yeah, dude. He's like, you're not supposed to get full on Doritos. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, I wanted to get full. And I wanted that to be my meal because it tastes so good. I never get to eat like this at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so going out to eat, like Rebecca didn't enjoy going out to eat as much as I do, because for her, she wanted it to be like a treat, like a special thing, special occasion. And for me, like, I wanted those special occasions every day. You know what I mean? I like to be waited on, you know, being on tour. It's like you get catering all the time. You know what I mean? We're talking, you know, you get some good catered food. You know what I mean? So for me, it was a dream come true. You get to travel, you get to play music, and you get to eat out every meal. That's, and being at home, it's like, okay, well, now you got to go buy groceries, you got to cook stuff. And I'm like, who wants to do that? I mean, I'd rather you waited on, you know what I mean? I'd rather get what I want when I want. You know what I mean? I was one of those people where if I was in the mood for a specific type of food, I knew what restaurant I wanted to go and what I was going to get. You know, I would never go to a restaurant and just try something new. I knew what I wanted, and I would go to whatever particular restaurant to get whatever meal I craved that moment. Wow. So that's what I mean by I was a glutton. It's like I lived to eat instead of eating to live. So
if somebody wanted some not so healthy food, they could go to Louis and he would point them in the right direction, at least at that point in your life.
Yeah. Oh, I still have friends today. They're like, oh man, I'm going to go to the Mexican place, man. I'm in the mood for something Mexican, man. I wonder what I should get. I'm like, dude, you should get this, this, and this. You know what I mean? So.
Wow. So you mentioned you were on tour and you're a musician. What genre of music are you in?
I'm a rock pig. So, yeah, play drums in a rock band. It's my main thing. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I kind of gave that up. You know, I don't want to be gone 280 days a year anymore now that I got, you know, a wife and 8 kids. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started my pressure washing window cleaning company. And, you know, I still write music and stuff. I'm a drummer, so I got into writing music and trying to learn to sing. You know what I mean? So doing that thing. So, yeah, I've got some music that I, you know, post up on all the streaming platforms and such. But
oh, nice.
It's an outlet, you know, so downgraded to hobby.
Right.
Yeah, that added a lot to my depression too, but you know, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a season for everything, for
That's
sure.
That's right. That's right.
And now's the season for Louis to thrive, especially in terms of his health and his family.
Hopefully so. Like I said, at 49, I feel better at 49 than I did at 23. So I feel like maybe the best part of my life is ahead of me as opposed to behind me. I remember I used to tell my wife, I said, man, babe, I feel like you got the worst of me, you know? But now I feel like, hey, maybe she's going to have the better part of who I can be.
Mm-hmm.
My body's still healing. I'm still going through things here and there, but you know, overall I'm coming out on top, you know, so.
I love that. So in terms of weight loss, when did you say you started this? May of 2022, somewhere around
there? I started it on Father's Day.
Father's Day.
After Father's Day, because I went to the ER on Father's Day. Yep. Next morning. Yep. Of 2022.
Okay. So. Father's Day 2022.
Yes.
And here we are, what is that, a year and a half later or so?
Correct.
So what's your weight loss look like at this point?
So I've dropped 110 pounds.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 110 pounds.
Wow. That's got to feel great.
Oh, man. It's amazing. Yeah, the interesting thing is, though, is like, you know, I never really had joint pains or any of that stuff. You know, I've got a strong back. Never had any of those issues. And some of my other friends who were much, you know, thinner than I was, they had all the joint pains and this and that. So I guess I'm fortunate in that regard. But yeah, losing 110 pounds feels good. I mean, my sleep apnea went away, snoring went away, IBS went away, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression, you know, just many things I feel like were cured. I almost feel like the carnivore diet almost is Jesus in a bottle. You know what I mean?
I agree wholeheartedly, 100%.
Yeah.
For sure. So 110 pounds weight loss, your blood pressure, where you talked a little bit about that. So where was that at before?
So when I went to the ER, my blood pressure was like 100 or 233 over 150.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they were just like, dude, you need to make some changes, man. They're like, we're surprised that you didn't have a stroke. They said, we've not seen, one of the doctors were saying that I hadn't seen somebody with blood pressure this high that hadn't had a stroke. So they did me overnight and had EKGs and all kinds of stuff, well, a bunch of wires and all kinds of weird stuff hooked up. And then the next morning, you know what they were feeding me for breakfast? It was like, you know, pancakes with syrup and,
oh gosh,
you know, they had biscuits with gravy. Yeah, you know, like, you know, oatmeal. There were bacon and eggs as well. And that was pretty much all I ate. Everything else I tossed, but it was just the strangest thing to me. And I remember because I felt like I had got educated from Dr. Barry. Mm-hmm. He was the only doctor that I had seen online at this point. And I'm like, okay, well, if this doctor knows, don't all the other doctors know that these are the demons that are killing you? And right. Here I am, you know, in the ER, and they're feeding me that stuff.
Oh, man, it's you have to wonder if it's willfully ignorant or if there's some other reason. It's travesty.
Right. You know it, or, you know, maybe some of it too is like, hey, this person's on his way out. Let's give him what he really wants.
Right. Yeah, that could be. They feel like being empathetic.
Yeah.
Wow. So your blood pressure is sky high at this point. You're almost at stroke level and you decide you're going to eat more fat. So that had to have made your blood pressure worse, right?
Didn't. Improved my blood pressure.
Wow.
Knew my blood pressure. My blood pressure went down in just a few short weeks. The last time I went in, because I was taking testosterone at this point too. And they monitor your blood pressure and, you know, several other things, you know, every 6 weeks or so. My blood pressure went down to 120 over 80.
Wow.
And so, and every time I go on the floor, it was always like in the 160s, you know, so they were pleasantly surprised.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
So you touched on testosterone levels. Did you ever have any testing done or anything like that?
I did, yes. So when I was going through a depression, you know, I had tried, you know, getting on medicine and it helped some, but not really. And one of my best friends kept saying, dude, got to go get your testosterone looked at, you know? And at that point I thought that testosterone was for people that were trying to, you know, get muscular, you know, or if they had low sex drive or whatever. And I'm like, dude, that's not me. I'm like the opposite of those two things. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, I put it off. And, you know, as a last resort, I'm like, all right, maybe I should just give it a try. And my wife's like, you know, it's the, you know, what would it hurt? So I went in and take a look at it. And so they say that, like, you know, optimal testosterone is like, I think 850 to like 1100. It's like the max or something like that. They said low is about 300. So I went in there and they said, sir, you're at a 92.
Whoa.
And I said, you mean 192? And they said, no, a 9-2. And I said, are you kidding me? And they were calling in like other nurses to like, come look at this guy. We've never seen anybody with testosterone this low. And that was really weird. Yeah. So anyways, they got me on testosterone within 6 weeks. I mean, I perked up. Like I really, really felt like a new man. I felt like I could go, you know, crush through a brick wall and just handle anything. But it was short lived. You know what I mean? Soon after that, like just a few weeks after that, things kind of started to go back down. And then my testosterone level was still up there. They said, well, we'll increase it some, but you're already at the max. You're already at like 1100 now,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so they said, but we'll increase it some. So they did. And that took me up to 1250 and didn't notice any difference. And at 1250, they weren't happy with how high it was. So they took it back down some. And again, still not noticing the difference. So yeah, so that happened.
Was that prior to the carnivore diet?
No, that was, oh yes, it was. That was prior to the carnivore diet. Yes,
okay.
It was. And so eventually I ended up getting off of testosterone because I was just like, you know, it's just expensive and what kind of stuff are they pumping into my system and, you know, all this stuff. And so I went and got my testosterone looked at about a month ago now, and it was at a 300. So it's gone down some, but it's not a 92. And so I still haven't taken any, and I'm going to go back again, probably in another 3 months, to go check it out again and see where I'm at and reevaluate. If I need to get back on it, then I guess I will, but kind of have a feeling that I'll be okay. You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah. Sometimes I wonder the numbers that they have, what is that based on? You know, the type of diet that the person is eating. Maybe if somebody is on a carnivore diet, 300 is more like a 500 or a 600 on the standard American diet. You know,
that's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah, I've always wondered that for sure. So yeah. It doesn't sound like you're having any issues in terms of testosterone now at this point, though.
Right. Yeah. So my depression, like I said, has not increased, even though my testosterone levels have gone down. My sex drive has not gone down, even though my testosterone has gone down. So it's everything's still functioning properly.
That's awesome.
So but it's really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Good.
Well, I was going to say, it is really interesting though, how you know, the quick go-to is to try to find in the medical professional world to go to a some sort of pill or something like that to try to, you know, help with a symptom of something and not think about diet. You know, and I don't think that people are, you know, nefariously trying to harm people. I think that they're just taught the best that they're taught in school, and they're just doing the best that they can. And I think there's a lot that has been forgotten along the way. And, you know, possibly just taking it back to basics, you know, that what, you know, you put in your mouth is going to determine a lot of, you know, what happens in your body, you know?
Right. For sure. Yeah. It definitely needs to be the foundation where everybody needs to start for sure.
Right.
And then go from, you know, not that pharmaceuticals are all bad, but I mean, you have to have a good foundation first before you can determine if you need to add any of those extra things for sure.
Right, exactly.
So you mentioned that you had IBS symptoms. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I'm not sure when it started, but it had been, you know, at least 10 years or so, you know, that I would eat something and within 20 minutes, I'd be running, you know, doing that 50-yard dash, you know, to the restroom. You know what I mean? And it was like, I didn't always make it. There have been a couple times, man, you know what I mean, where I didn't make it. And he was like, man, like, I'm a young dude. Like, am I going to be like one of these incontinent people? Like, you know, it was tough. You know, there'd be times where I wouldn't even eat anything and I'd just wake up and go grab a big glass of water. And the glass of water would send me running to the restroom to sit down, mind you.
Wow.
You know, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try to change my diet. I'm going to try to go, you know, vegetarian for like a month. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't last a month, but I'd last a few weeks. But, you know, even after eating a salad, I'd run to the restroom. And in my stool, I'd see, you know, remnants of some of that salad that I just consumed 20 minutes earlier. And it was literally on the dot. It was about, you know, my friend and I have a joke because it was about 17 minutes. I'd eat something. And as soon as I finished eating, 17 minutes later, I'm running to the restroom.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm looking at grout lines everywhere I go. Yeah. So, yeah, it was.
That's pretty bad.
It was terrible. I mean, there's times, like I said, I own a business. And so there's times where, you know, I knew I couldn't eat now before. I learned this the hard way. I can't eat before doing a job because there's nothing worse than getting all set up. And all of a sudden you got to run to the restroom. You're not going to knock on somebody's house and ask if you can, you know, go tear up their restroom, you know.
Right.
We'll have to load all my stuff in the van. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not sure I'm going to make this. You know, I've got a pressure wire. I've got, you know, 200 feet of hose I just strung out, you know, but I'd have to go do that and run to the gas station somewhere and come back and do that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, especially on a hot day, I hadn't eaten anything, but I got, you know, a big, you know, water bottle with me and I got to drink water because I'm thirsty. And that will set me off too. And now I got to run to the restroom. And so I ended up buying one of those, you know, 5-gallon, you know, buckets with a little seat on it. You know what I mean? A little small portable tent. So I could just set that thing up and use that when I needed to. And, you know, and I had to do it.
Wow.
So that was tough.
Wow.
So that, now, go ahead.
You had some major IBS issues for sure.
It was terrible. You know, and all the doctors, I never got officially diagnosed as having IBS, but every time I went in, the doctors 100% of the time, and it was probably maybe 3 or 4 times that I went to different doctors, not regarding this, but just over the years, insurance changes and such, but they all had the same opinion. They all said, sir, you just got a really fast metabolism. You know what I mean? They're like, you would probably lose weight really, really fast if you just made better food decisions. They said, but nothing to worry about. You know, and I was like, this was interfering with my life. Like I was having to think about, okay, I've got this to do. Should I eat or should I not eat? You know what I mean? And if you do eat, you're running the risk of, okay, am I going to be within the bathroom within 20 minutes after we're traveling? Otherwise I can't eat, you know? And so, so after changing my diet, all that stuff went away. And so now it's like, you know, I might get a cue that I'm going to have to go to the restroom at some point within the day or two. Like, it's not even like it's an immediate, you know, immediate thing now. So
nice. That's awesome.
I feel like a normal functioning human being now. You know what I mean?
So that would be a struggle for sure. I mean, and that would add to, you know, your feelings of depression and things like that. Just having to deal with that, man, goodness.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's kind of nice too, and hopefully this is not too gross for any other listeners out there, but you know, ghost wiping is a real thing. It used to be that I'd sit there to wipe and wipe and wipe and wipe. And sometimes you just give up. Right. I'm just going to tuck this away and go. You know what I mean? But now it's like, I'll sit there and, you know, you're wiping. There's nothing there. And you do a safety check. And you're like, yeah, it's good. You know what I mean?
Well, the way you were flowing before, I mean, it was freely flowing. So,
yeah. So I feel like my toilet paper bill has gone down too. You know,
that's awesome. Better for the environment. You're not collecting as much water. So that's good.
Right, right. Well, we use a bidet, but, you know, being able to dry off, you know what I mean? You know,
right.
But it really is interesting. And I remember somebody on one of the YouTube channels made an observation that, you know, you look at the animals in the wild and they're not having to wipe. I mean, they're one and they're done and that's it. And you never see, you know, just weird stuff like that out in the wild, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I guess we're animals too, right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of your energy and sleep patterns, have those improved on the carpet?
Oh, big time. Yes. My energy, my kids, you know, it was probably maybe 8 months after kind of getting up at a normal time where my kids were like, man, Dad, we're still kind of getting used to seeing you up and awake every day. You know, we're making it to church like regularly. You know, there'd be so many times I'm like, man, I want to go to church, man, but I don't have the energy. So I'm just going to have to stay home when you guys go. You know, and so every Sunday, you know, it was sad for me because every Saturday night, my kids were like, Dad, do you think you're going to go tomorrow? And my answer was like, yes, I want to be there. And then Sunday morning would come and I'm like, man, I'm just don't have the energy. I'm just not going to be able to make it in today. And I would sleep and sleep and sleep. So, yeah. So now like I'm up, I'm usually the first person up, you know, one of the last people to go to bed and the first person up. So I've got energy, you know, get out and do stuff. You know, Rebecca's not having to run the business by herself anymore. You know, matter of fact, I'm trying to phase her out so that she could focus more on the family, on the kids, and I can get out and do what I'm called to do, you know, as a husband, as a father, as a man of the house. So that, like, mentally is a big thing as well. You know, you feel like I've got worth. Before, I felt like I was a waste of oxygen. I'm a waste of food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I'm contributing to, you know, my little society here, you know?
You do have a little society.
We do.
Or just eight kids. I can't even imagine.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Well, you know, when we dated, though, all fairness, you know, I told Rebecca, you know, we were dating. I mean, our first date was like 6 hours long, right? I've never been like a dinner and a movie kind of guy. I've always been like, let's get coffee and sit down and just chat it out, you know? So, you know, I said, yeah, for me, one of the big deals I said before, you know, we get, you know, emotionally involved or whatever like that. You know, I'm a touring musician and that's something that you might not be okay with. And instead of pursuing this relationship, we might think about that, you know? And she was cool with that. And she said, well, for me, a big deal is kind of having a big family. And I'm like, all right, well, what's a big family? And she looked at me and she's like, 9? And I'm like, I'm surprisingly okay with that. You know, I'm okay with none or as many as you want, you know?
Wow.
And now I'm just like, dude, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, it's like, it's the most amazing thing. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, going out on tour after having my firstborn, I was miserable. You know? And then one time I went on tour and it was the day that he went and he was doing something at grandma and grandpa's house and he slipped and fell and split his eye open, had to get several stitches across his eye. And I had to leave on the road that day. And so I had to have the bus come pick me up at the ER. And I'm just like, man, I probably cried for the first 2 days because I was like, here's my little boy. You know what I mean? He's only a couple, I think he was like 3. I mean, he needs me and I'm not there and I can't be there. I have to go out on the road.
That's
miserable. You know, I remember going out, you know, like 2 months, like a couple of days after the twins were born, you know, we have identical twins. I was miserable. Didn't matter how awesome music felt and just having people, you know, just like, you know, vibing on your energy from stage. I mean, all that stuff is great, but all I wanted to do was be home and just hug and kiss my babies, you know?
Right.
So I get to be home every night now. So that's cool.
That's awesome for sure.
Yeah.
Making up for lost time.
That's it.
The great thing is kids are resilient and you've got decades and decades and decades of life left.
Hopefully so. I feel like, man, time sure is going by fast. I can't believe I'm going to be 50 next year. You know, I'm like, man, I'm still a kid. I can't be 50.
Right.
You know?
Well, we filmed Maggie up in Canada. She's 82 years old on the carnivore diet for 65 years, and she feels like she's middle-aged.
she's not, she looks fabulous too. You know, I can't believe, you know, I showed my dad, you know, my dad, you know, is 70 and he's like, there's no way she's 82. I'm like, Dad, she is. I mean, she's been carnivore for 60 some odd years, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what the carnivore diet can do for you. And she's hardcore. Like she served up fat trimmings that were just fried a little bit in the cast iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a side item. Carrie and I looked at each other like, what in the world? And we ate it and we're like, this is surprisingly good. And we felt really great the rest of the day too.
That's amazing. That's so awesome. Well, it's so funny too, because I remember when I first married my wife, so she grew up in Idaho, you know, mm-hmm. she's kind of a meat and potatoes girl. And I remember just kind of being grossed out that she would eat all the fat, you know what I mean, on her steaks. I'm like, why are you doing that? Well, that's just so nasty. You got to get rid of that. You can't eat that stuff. And she's like, it's like the best part. I'm like, no, man, you can't eat that. You know what I mean? So she started getting rid of it and tossing it because it bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now here I've come 180 degrees. She's like, no, you toss the protein. You got to keep the fat. You know what I mean? That's what we need.
That's awesome.
Funny.
I have a similar story with butter and my wife. You know, she would literally just eat it straight out of the fridge. And my prior training was, you know, don't do that sort of thing. You know, like that's just, you're going to give yourself a heart attack. That's gross. Don't do that. And now I know it must have been something innate in her physiology that just made her crave the fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting how that is. You know, on a side note, it's interesting too, because, you know, we haven't purchased dog food in probably a year now. You know, and I remember one day I was saying, hey, babe, like, when's the last time we bought dog food? And she's like, we haven't bought it in months. And I'm like, really, man, what are the dogs eating? She's like, they just get enough scraps from us.
Wow.
You know? And, you know, we took our dogs to the vet because, you know, one of the dogs needed to get, you know, checked out or whatever like that because, you know, somebody wanted to use him as a stud or whatever. And we go to the veterinarian, we got two Boston Terriers, you know, and the vets are like, man, your dogs are some of the healthiest dogs that we've seen come in here. They're not overweight. They're like, they must be really active. We're like, man, this seems like all they do is lay around. But I guess what we feed them is what changed. I mean, they eat a lot of bones and all of our table scraps. And our table scraps, of course, are all animal products. You know what I mean? Eggs and meats and bones and whatnot. So that's really interesting, too.
That's a really added perk, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's a big savings not having to buy dog food anymore.
Pretty right.
Yeah. And they don't look like they're starving or anything. So they're obviously getting enough.
That's so awesome. I love that.
I guess with 10 people in your home, they've got to be getting enough.
Right, for sure. So we know what your diet was before the carnivore diet. You know, it was basically Big Macs and ho-hos and whatnot. So what does it look like now?
Yeah, so now I pretty much eat just a couple of items. I mean, I'm pretty much a chuck roast guy. I know this is going to sound really weird to a lot of people. And maybe they're going to want to befriend me after this, but I prefer chuck roast over ribeye. I really do, you know, and chuck roast, our family, we actually don't like roast. So you're thinking chuck roast, you're thinking, okay, put it in a crock pot or an oven. It's going to get all soupy and super crumb or, you know, squishy, whatever.
Right.
No, not like that. We make steak bites. So we chop them up into really small bite-sized pizzas and fry them up in a cast iron. And for me, like they taste better, more fatty than ribeyes. I still like ribeyes and I switched that up, but the chuck roast to me and to most of my family, man, it's just, yeah. So I eat chuck roast every day. I'll eat eggs most every day, you know, probably 6 to 12 eggs every day. And, you know, maybe a pound or two of chuck roast every day. Light amounts of cheese. I'll eat cheese, but I'm really particular about the cheese. For me, like if I'm going to eat cheddar, it's got to be white cheddar. I won't do the yellow cheddar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I always look at the ingredients of anything that I eat. So mostly because I don't want my anxiety to come back in the slightest. So if I see a cheese and it's got more than the four ingredients that they normally have, then I won't buy it. You know, I was reluctant to buy frozen shrimp because it's got something in there to help keep them from, you know, keep the moisture in or whatever it was. I forget what it's called, but Rebecca's like, no, you know, Rebecca's a scientist, right, by trade. So she's like, no, that should be fine. It's not a big deal. You know, I had a hard time with buffalo mozzarella because it had vinegar. And I'm like, well, is vinegar a bad thing? And she's like, vinegar should be fine. It's been used for so long and this and that. And so I'm fine with the mozzarella cheese, but buffalo mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mostly it's just, you know, red meat, eggs, butter, I do like pork steaks. I don't eat a whole lot of pork, but I eat pork steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And chicken thighs. I prefer those over chicken legs, although we do buy chicken thighs and legs. We never buy the breast, but and always skin on. So it's funny because like everything that we buy is kind of the cheaper cuts of everything except for ribeye. Ribeyes can get expensive, but the chuck roast, although chuck roast is getting expensive too. Chuck roast now is almost what ribeyes were, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, you're a man after my own heart, Louis, because I absolutely love chuck roast, and I actually prefer that flavor over the ribeyes as well.
Yeah, there you go, man. We can be buddies, man.
Yeah, ribeyes are good, but the chuck roast has more of a, I don't know, just a deeper, richer flavor profile.
Something like that. Yep, it's got more flavor, you know?
Yeah.
And I've tried to cut them into steaks, but it's a little bit too chewy. But cutting them into the bite-sized pieces, I mean, it's not chewy at all. It's perfect.
Right.
You know, so I can cut them like.
But here's the trick. If you want to cut them like a steak,
mm-hmm.
you cook them sous vide for 24 hours.
There you go.
Take them out, dry them off, put them in the fridge for about 10 to 15 minutes to cool down the core.
Mm-hmm.
And then sear them, you know, 30 seconds each side or whatever. And man, I'm telling you what, it is. Ooh, you want to talk about a ribeye rival? It's not even a rival. It wins hands down.
Do you when you sous vide them? Do you sous vide the whole chuck roast, or do you cut them in slices first?
I just cut them in slices, like inch to inch and a half, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yep, like just in slices. It doesn't have to be any specific shape. Just you know that thickness.
So for 24 hours, are you putting it at 125 then or something?
131.
131. Okay, 131. And then you'll sear it and get the internal temperature to...
Yep. Get the internal temperature down in the fridge for 10 to 15 minutes and then just sear them. You know, I use a garden weeding torch, propane torch. Just okay. I throw it on the grill, turn the torch on, 30 seconds on one side, flip it, 30 seconds on the other side. Absolutely heavenly.
Nice. Yeah. So one of the things that I started doing is I'll cut them like, you know, pencil width thick or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I buy this big 7-pound tub of tallow from beef tallow from Amazon, you know. And so I'll basically deep fry it. You know what I mean? So I'll put it in a cast iron skillet and get that, you know, the fire really, really hot till it starts, you know, kind of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll throw that in there. And it's like, it's super crispy on the, oh man, it's so awesome. Just that crunch is really, really good. I like it. So I'll do the same thing with like chicken thighs now too. It's kind of deep fried chicken the same way, beef tallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I discovered too, is that, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, we can go there from time to time. And deep fry all their wild wings in beef tallow.
Nice. You know?
So I stopped getting the seasonings there though, because you can't just get salt. It's salt and pepper together. And I kind of have a reaction to pepper. You know, I had some pepper not that long ago and I was lethargic for like 3 days.
Goodness.
3 days. And I thought maybe it was a weird thing. So I went and had some again and same thing, about 3 days. And so I'm like, all right. My body doesn't want, you know, and I guess I learned that pepper is a nightshade, you know,
mm-hmm.
so, yep, just salt, but more and more, I'm starting to get away from salt. So I'm just, not for any particular reason other than just, you know, trying to just, I don't know, go more purist, I guess. I don't know.
Right. You trying to do a Dr. Chafee?
That's it. Is he not doing salt now? I thought he was doing a lot of salt, you know?
He doesn't do any salt anymore, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah,
okay. I know Bella was
water.
Yeah. Chafee's awesome. He's definitely a huge inspiration to how I do what I do now. You know, my goal was to make my refrigerator look like his, and it does now, you know.
Right.
Got my drying racks in there with, you know, the meats and all that kind of stuff, you know. So
nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what message would you want to send to your wife?
In regards to
the carnivore diet and her support of you and things like that.
You know, I would just tell her, you know, and she hears this from me all the time, is that, man, she is a rock star. I mean, I wouldn't have known how to pray to God to ask for a woman like she is to me. You know, the fact that she was willing to basically, I hate to say the word sacrifice because it's been a benefit, but sacrifice her own palate to do what I needed to do for me to get my health back and then bring the whole family on board as well. It's like, I am really, really fortunate because it could be so easy for someone to just be like, well, you know, this is what you need to do. And you know, good luck kind of thing. You know what I mean? And, but I'm still going to enjoy my whatever. And she just didn't, you know, I mean, she's like, I know it will be really, really hard for you to do this. So we're all going to do this to support you because we want you around, you know, and to me, that's love, you know. And if somebody's spouse doesn't do that, it doesn't mean that they don't love them or anything like that. But I'm just saying that my wife is probably one of the most selfless people that I know. She's the most well-rounded human being that I know. And I always pray that I could be learn to be more like her, because she is extremely selfless and I am very selfish. You know, I think it probably just goes with being a musician. You know what I mean? I like to be in the spotlight. I like to be served. I like, you know, like, and I'm trying to distance myself from that because, you know, I believe that I don't know, more joy comes from helping others and serving others as opposed to serving yourself. So I don't know. I just want her to know, man, that I appreciate her, love her so much, and I'm very, very fortunate. So
awesome. I love that. So you're trying to get a little bit more balance in your life, and as you get balanced, I'm sure your marriage and your family will get much, much stronger.
Yep, that's it. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate 18 years this year, you know, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
18 years and 8 kids, man. We've seen a lot.
You guys have been doing a lot of work.
We sure have. Sure have. So I'm glad to know that I'm going to be around. You know, I want to see my kids into their 60s. And I know it's possible. I mean, that'll put me in my 90s.
Right.
I mean, in theory, I could live to be 120, right? So.
Yep. Absolutely. You
know, I had a great, great, great aunt or whatever it was that made the newspaper in San Diego because she lived to be 121. You know,
wow.
My parents still have the clipping from the newspaper, you know, and I'm like, okay, I want to be that person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's probably the norm or should be the norm if people are eating a proper human diet.
Right. Well, I remember, you know, Anthony Chaffee doing his presentation at one point and talking about how the old Indians, you know, being 110 years old, still chasing buffalo off the cliff, you know what I mean? Back in the tribes. And I'm like, wow, I couldn't imagine any 80-year-old chasing buffalo off the cliffs living here in America. I mean,
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even 50 and 60 year olds.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. Wow. So if someone is watching this and they're like, this carnivore diet thing, I might give it a try, but I need to know a little bit more about it. What message would you have for that person?
You know, I would say there's plenty of information on YouTube to see about it. I'd find somebody reputable. I mean, for me, personally, I would look at, you know, Dr. Chaffee, you know what I mean? Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Kiltz, you know what I mean? And give it a try. You know, I would say, you know, at minimum, if you can try it for 3 weeks, like it would change your life. If you can really do 30 days, but you wouldn't really start noticing huge benefits till after 90 days. But if you can get through the first month, I mean, we're in January right now. This is World Carnivore Month. You know, I would say, please give it a try. I wish I had enough money to say, I'll give you $100 to try it, you know, for a month, because I believe in it that much. Because the way it's turned my life around and several other people that I have seen, you know what I mean? And with my wife and kids and just little things here and there, I just think it's awesome, you know? So.
I love that. So for those that are wishing to connect with you, where can they find you?
Pretty much my wife's the one who's got the channel. We're Carnivore Family, you know, carnivorefam@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook too, just under my name, Louie, Louie, last name Reese, Ruiz. I do get people that message me the blue. Anyone's welcome to do that. You know, I love chatting with people. I love talking with people. So, you know, I mean, anybody wants to text me, I mean, 619-226-9532. You know, there's no secret. I'm pretty much open, and I love talking to people. I love people. So
I love that.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Well, Louie, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute honor getting to know you, and I'm looking forward to hearing some of your music.
And, awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't judge me, man. Don't judge me.
I'm always judging. I'm a Libra, so that's what we do. We judge and balance.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm October 15th, so we're right there, you know.
Okay, nice.
So, but yeah, I wrote a carnivore song, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, nice.
We're supposed to be shooting a video for that at some point, but, you know, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so. Very cool. Awesome, Louie. Well, until next time.
All righty.
Be blessed.
Have a great day, and we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.